Welcome back to the Extension Experience Podcast. I'm Dana Zook. This week, I'm joined by Alberto Amador, the West District Area Ag Economist. Alberto is new to the role. He's been on the podcast several months ago, but we thought we'd have a conversation this morning about tariffs. But before we get started, Alberto, it is June. May went by so fast. Did your spring go fast?
Really fast for me.
Yeah. May just went poof, and it was gone. But I do love the summer. I love the spring and the summer. I love the warm temperatures. And some of my family's favorite things to do are summertime things. So what sort of plans do you have for the summer?
I mean, I love summer too. And I have a couple of plans with my friends. I plan to go to Tahlequah River to floating. And I'm really excited to visit the Turner Falls.
Turner Falls. I've been to Tahlequah in that area, but I've never been to Turner Falls. It's supposed to be really pretty.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some pictures and it looks like really fun.
So you are kind of trying to do a view of Oklahoma, I guess.
Yeah.
Trying to see different places and that sort of thing.
Yes, that's my plan. And I really want to visit the national parks too.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have like any specific national park, but I really want to visit as much as possible I can.
So you're into traveling. We talked about you're into food. Like I totally mimic that.
Yeah.
Sure.
My plans are based on food. Depends if you know like some good restaurants, let me know and I can just adjust my plans for or the location that I will visit in the future.
Yes. So you heard it here. So email Alberto Amador at okstate.edu with suggestions for travel. So when you go and you look for food, when you're on your trip, what's the type of food you look for?
Like the local food.
That
I always like to ask to the local people where they go to dinner with family or with their husband. But like the famous place for the locals. That's for me is the best reference.
Okay, that's good. I mean, that's what we all kind of like to do. But I think the best thing is don't just get online. I think asking people like, hey, what is the best place? Because they might know some place that's not really advertised and that sort of thing. So
yes, exactly. And I just expect like the good flavor and maybe then like the good environment too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Really relaxing type of environment. That's what I go for, but I have a kind of a chaotic normal life. So anyway, well, that's awesome. So we both have good summer plans. I hope we can both accomplish all of that. And we'll have to,
hopefully.
You'll have to keep me up to date. You can inform me on those places because I've been here for 15 years and I really haven't been very many places, especially in Eastern Oklahoma. So you'll have to keep me up to date, Alberto.
Of course.
So as I said, Alberto's joining me to discuss the basics of tariffs and how they, at their basic level, impact agriculture. So as we were preparing for this conversation, we mentioned several times how it's kind of hard to discuss tariffs because they can be a political topic, right? And they are constantly changing, which they've changed a lot in the last couple of days when we've talked about this. But I think it's valuable to understand it and bring it down to the most basic level. So is it correct, Alberto, to say that tariffs are not new?
Yeah, it is correct. Let me talk about history a little bit.
Yeah.
And before World War II, multiple countries follow protectionist policies. And basically, they implement tariffs and other trade barriers to protect their domestic economy. Then in 1946, General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade was signed. And today, the institution responsible for overseeing global trade and tariffs is the World Trade Organization that was founded in 1995. Additionally, the U.S. signed several trade agreements. The most relevant for me is the North America Free Trade Agreement, signed in 1994, and it was updated and replaced by United States, Mexico, Canada agreement in 2020. Basically, this agreement allows free trade among these countries to develop regional economic development.
So it sounds like pre-World War II, it was more like there wasn't much of a world exchange of products. It was pretty limited. Is that kind of what you've noticed, Alberto?
Yeah. Okay. Like before, they protect a lot of their domestic production, domestic economy. And to improve the economies, they open the market.
Right.
The free trade. And recently, especially in 2018, the US imposed tariffs on several products like aluminum, steel, washing machines, and solar panels, targeting multiple countries with different periods and different rates. And currently, the situation is a little bit different. There are a lot of tariffs focused on in the ag products because there is the deficit in ag products increase.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that specifically, kind of the maybe most recent history of imports, exports of some of these ag products. I know in a recent article you talked about how imports of ag products, some of those imports have really increased in the last several years.
All the countries import products that they can produce. The demand of fruits or vegetables have increased in the US, and only for the weather conditions, it's hard and we are not competitive against other countries. So there is one of the reasons that the ag imports have increased in the last years.
Right. So as Americans, we like a broad array of things every time we go to the grocery store, right? I mean, you and I have talked about this yesterday. So fruits and vegetables, lots of variety all year round. So part of that is due to we've been importing a lot of fruits and vegetables we can't grow here all year round. For example, as we record this, strawberries are at peak domestic supply, I think. But as we move into late summer, into the fall, strawberries are not something we can grow here in North America. So they're imported. And so that's what causes that, is because the demand is there to have those products all year round. Is that a little bit, I understand that kind of correctly, Alberto?
Yes, it is. And for example, do you know the company Driscoll's?
Yes. Yeah?
The Driscoll's model is really interesting because if you imagine like a chart or a graph, they keep the same production, the global production at the same level, because they have production since Canada to Argentina.
Oh, so okay.
In different seasons, they can keep the production.
Interesting. So Driscoll, now that I think about it, it's strawberry. Isn't it a fruit production?
It's strawberry and general berries.
Yeah, okay.
And they invest a lot in research and development, especially in genetics, to adapt each variety in each region.
Okay, yeah. So growing strawberries in Canada is much different than growing strawberries in Argentina. So it'd be very different. Yeah, very cool. That's a great example. What you're saying, as we circle back, that year-round demand is what has caused some of these ag imports to go up in the last several years.
I will say that is one of the factors that that make that.
So now that we've kind of given the basic history of trade, because that's what this whole tariff thing is about, let's just give, if you could give us the most basic definition of a tariff.
I will say that the most basic definition is that tariffs are tax on imports.
On products that are imported.
Correct? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Okay. And it's the products we're bringing into our country. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. From what I understand is that tax is imposed on the person or the entity that is importing it. So the company that has purchased it elsewhere is taking on that tax, correct?
Yes, that's correct. I mean, the importers or the company that import the goods or the products pay directly in the ports or in the office borders. But for me, the real question is, who really bear the cost? And from my perspective, all the stakeholders involved with the imported goods bear the cost at some level. For example, consumers will paying higher prices, manufacturers and retailers will carry higher input costs. And also, if the the sellers or the exporters plan to remain competitive, they may decreasing prices. However, I will say that in the end, consumers bear the cost due to the main goal of the companies is to make profits.
Right. Well, for a business to say profitable, I guess, they will have to. Their products that they produce will have to cost more, right? For them to stay in business if their inputs are more expensive.
Yeah, because for example, maybe a factory who produces ketchup and there is a tariff in tomatoes from mm-hmm. Mexico, we can say that the 1 pound costs $10. And if the tariff is like 20%, or if the tariff increased in 20%, the pound will increase to $12.5. So who is going to pay that $2.5? So the ideal scenario is that all the stakeholders split that extra cost. But as I say, the main goal of the companies is profits, make profits. So I think that consumers will bear the cost at some point.
So this summer when we put ketchup on our hamburger and our hot dog, that will be just a tiny bit more.
Yeah, and also the consumers react to the price change different. And it depends on the consumption habits and lifestyle. So many experts say that this reaction or consumers' reaction would be in the middle or long term.
Okay. What you're saying is they may not notice right away, but they might adjust their buying behavior as time goes on if it continues to stay high. Okay.
And also, as I said, it depends on their habits.
Right.
You know, maybe if you are like really strawberry lover, you don't care if you have to pay more and you can't consume less another product to keep your strawberry consumptions at the same level.
Right. Is there a substitute for strawberries? If you really love strawberries, they're not going to go to something else if strawberries are too expensive, are they?
Yeah.
The likelihood, I don't know about the statistics of that, but...
No, maybe not like a direct substitute, but there are a lot of berries or another fruits that can be fill that need that
yes.
you are
yes.
looking in the strawberry.
The strawberry need. Yes. For my kids, it's a very high need. So yeah, I totally understand that. In general, Alberto, what are tariffs used for? What are some things tariffs are used for?
Well, tariffs can serve several purposes. They can use to protect domestic industry. And for many countries, that's really important. Another use is to raise government revenue. So if the government earn more money with the taxes, they can invest in another fields like security, health, education, or among others. They are also used as retaliatory measures on other country. And I have a really strong example of this one.
Okay, all right.
Previous years, we saw the loss of soybeans market share. Per the 2018, the world trade with China, the US was China's largest soybean supplier. However, as I mentioned before, in 2018, the US imposed some tariffs, and in response, China imposed tariffs to American soybean. So this price disadvantage allowed Brazil to gain larger share of the Chinese market. And the current global context suggests a similar scenario for multiple factors. Brazil has increased the production, and the predictions suggest the same for this year. And the US-China agreement situation remains uncertain. So these factors, and according to the past, can impact the supply and demand of the crops.
Right. So Brazil has obtained a little bit more market share because of what happened several years ago. Right. In the soybean market specifically.
Yeah. I mean, they develop like varieties to increase production. They developed or invest in infrastructure like ports, roads, everything. And their production is really good now.
Okay.
And additionally, tariffs are sometimes used as leverage to bring people to the table for other discussion, basically as a negotiation tool.
Yeah, and I think probably some of that, what's going on, is part of that too. My assumption.
Yeah, it seems like that.
Yeah, it seems like that. Okay, so let's just look at the big picture. Let's start with the positives of some tariffs that we could see from an ag perspective.
Yeah, of course. I found like two positive things and two negative things.
Okay.
For the positive, that with tariffs, all the global trade change, there is an opportunity to open new markets. And another advantage is that tariffs can help to increase domestic demand for locally produced and just support the domestic production. For example, if the government applied a tariff on tequila, maybe the Bourbon demand will increase.
So people are going to switch from margaritas to
whiskey,
an old-fashioned, yeah, whiskey. But I mean, I don't know. Do you think that that's an exchange? Would you make that exchange, Alberto?
Absolutely, I will exchange that.
You would?
Yeah. It depends on habits. And in my case, if the tequila for margaritas increase a lot, I have like local cheaper options.
Okay.
I will take the cheaper local option.
Well, that's a strong opinion coming from where you grew up. So that's an interesting switch.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would switch that. There's some people who would do that, but personally, so we don't want to just focus on the negatives, but there are some negatives with some of these tariffs.
Like,
and we've talked a little bit about it.
As everything all have like good and bad things.
Mm-hmm.
And for the negatives, well, all the changes can be good for some people and bad for some people. So the tariffs can shift global demand, because if the prices of a product increase, buyers will seek alternatives for another countries. So the global trade will change.
Kind of like what it did with China and Brazil.
Exactly.
And the United States. Okay.
That's a really good example of that. And talking about, again, of the retail authority actions, if the U.S. apply tariffs and the other country responds with retaliatory actions, there is the chance that we can lose the supply of many of our products. And again, the example of the soybean fits with this, because basically, tariffs leading potential loss in market share. It depends on the reaction of the other countries.
Okay. All right. So it kind of goes hand in hand.
I forget another one.
Oh, okay.
That it's really important. Tariffs increase market uncertainty, and it affects also the investment decisions and long-term planning.
So it's a little bit harder to anticipate what's going to happen in the market, and that makes people hesitant to invest. I see.
Exactly.
Okay. So you and I work directly with producers who operate ag-related businesses. I mean, every day is ag for us. So tariffs will not be felt exactly the same by all businesses and entities. So we've talked a little bit about this. So just as we kind of wrap up, our discussion yesterday focused a little bit on the retailers versus an ag producer. So let's talk a little bit about the relationship between those two and how tariffs may affect those differently.
Yes, I mean, it will be different for everyone, because not everyone plays the same role in the market.
Right, every ag producer is totally different.
Exactly.
Yes.
So let me start with the retailers. There are people or businesses
businesses
just buy or import products storage for a while and then sell the product. They don't value or transform the product. They just deal with the product.
And so then how are they affected by the tariff?
I think that they will feel the impact sooner than the ag producers, because their profit margins are directly affected. So I think that since a couple of months ago, when the tariffs were announced, they fill their inventories with at a reasonable storage cost just to prevent that increase in the cost.
Okay, so it was like a short-term kind of activity that they did to kind of, what would we say, like soften the blow.
Yeah, they trying to avoid the tariffs, but on the other hand, there is like the storage cost too.
Right, okay.
So I'm just suggesting that.
Oh, absolutely. I'm assuming too. I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
But probably they do that. And for that reason, the ag producers will feel that impact later. Some experts, some economists argue that this will happen in the middle term. I would say 4-6 months.
Okay.
Not now, because the inventories probably are full. So when they buy again the product for the inventories, we will see the change in the prices. The ag producers will feel it when they need to use that product, that input. Mm-hmm. And also there are like multiple ag products that are involved with tariffs. For example, machinery.
Okay.
I think that machinery cost, like the cash cost and depreciation cost, it's a big deal now. Machinery pieces, fertilizers, seeds, and medicine or vaccine. Mm-hmm. There are like products that can or might hit the ag producers in the next months. But not everything is bad. But because probably crops and livestock prices will follow the trend, and the ag producers or the ag market will pass the cost to the final consumer.
Right. So it all trickles down.
Yeah. And talking about consumer, we are consumers. Everybody is a consumer. We will feel the impact in the medium or long term, because as I said, it depends on the habits, and this reaction to the price changes are gradual.
That's a great summary of that, Alberto. As we close out this discussion, what advice simply would you give to ag producers as they navigate this uncertainty for the products that they produce?
And to be honest, I'm not really worried for them, because I think the ag producers face challenge and uncertainty almost every year.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So I will say that it's part of the job. However, given the current market fluctuation, I think that effective management is crucial to achieve good results.
Okay.
We don't have to focus just like in forecasts and predictions, because they are never fully accurate and always carry risk. I will say that now we should focus on the factors that we can control, like the production or management, and strive for maximum efficiency.
Okay. That's really good advice. Alberto, thanks so much for joining us to do this, taking some time. This is kind of a tough topic to cover.
Yeah, it is a lot.
Yeah, I listeners probably, I kind of posed this to Alberto, and so I'm glad we did it. Give some basic baseline of some of these tariffs and what is going on. We'll probably in the future talk more about some more specific on industries such as beef or our grain crops and that sort of thing. But if you have any questions on this topic, definitely reach out to your extension educator and they could reach out to us. Alberto and I are always around. I'm less of a good resource, but I could do my best to help you out. There's also many state specialists that are working on this topic right now and very informed. So let us know if you have any questions. Thank you for joining us and have a great week.